Thank you, Jesus. When we mention Easter, we realize that it means different things to different people. For some, it's about bunnies and eggs. It's completely secular. For others, it's about family getting comfortable together. It represents the warmth of the home. And to a few, it's just another day, nothing more. But to many more, especially those that are gathered here in churches all over our country and our world, it's much, much more than family gatherings or enjoying lots of sweets.
Amen.
To us, there's a connection with something far greater.
Hallelujah.
That which is deeply spiritual, a life-altering experience. Right now, right here, I want to challenge you to simply remember the story of Easter, not to just observe the day, but to experience the difference Jesus can make in your life.
You.
Amen?
Amen?
Most of us, if not all of us, have heard, we've studied, and we've become familiar with the story of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. We're aware of Jesus' life and his death for the purpose of securing our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. And certainly Easter is the celebration of our Savior's resurrection from the dead.
Hallelujah.
We refer often
to
the Lord's death and its importance, but it is his resurrection that brings power to the story.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Without the resurrection, it could be considered just the story of another great teacher who was loved by the masses but misunderstood by the establishment. Without the resurrection, some might believe it's just an account of a misguided prophet with a Messiah complex who ran afoul of the law. Without the resurrection, others would consider it just another religion. But what does Jesus' resurrection really mean for you and me? What are the benefits that Jesus' resurrection brings to us? Saints, if we are to experience Jesus' resurrection in its fullness, we need to know what we should expect. Just what will the resurrection do for you and me? Amen. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is describing what it is to be alive in Christ, to experience the resurrection personally. Let's go there, and we'll begin with verse 5, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7, when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Verse 8, and since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Verse 10, when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Verse 11, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This passage of Scripture gives us three benefits that resurrection brings to us. The first one is a new life. The second one is a fresh hope. And the third one is a transformed faith. Have you ever thought about having a new life?
Yeah.
A whole new identity. Like the witness protection program. Maybe moving to Montana and becoming a buffalo rancher. Just any chance to start over. To leave the old behind, the mistakes, the pain, the problems. In this text we just read, verse 5 through 7, tells us about this new life. It says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. In verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, these verses promise us a new life. A new life. We may not get a new ID card or a new name, an address, but we get something of eternal value and spiritual significance. We get set free from the power of sin.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The scriptures say that the wages of sin equal death. That means the power of sin will ultimately bring death upon you and me. However, if we are set free from sin's power, then we get to experience new life. New life.
Thank you, Lord.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22, say this. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Some might say, then why do people still die? Well, natural physical death resulted from the fall of man. Adam's sin. And we cannot erase that curse in the natural. And because we know we will die physically, we tend to measure life with length of time. Actually, we make a habit of celebrating life annually. We throw parties and give presents. But God measures life through purpose and meaning in the light of eternity. Where else can we find purpose and meaning than in living for something or someone greater than ourselves? Where else can I find eternity other than in Christ, the one who defeated death and rose from the grave for me? Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them.
Yes.
The message says it a little bit different.
Yes.
It says, he included everyone in his death so everyone could be included in his life.
Hallelujah.
A far better life than people lived on their own. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. What is this better life Jesus offers? It is much more than what we classify as good life.
Thank you, Lord.
A good home, family, job, health. God brought you here today to give you more than good life. Amen? There is something better. There's something more profound and more rewarding than just living the good life. Now there is absolutely nothing wrong with a good life. Nothing. Amen? I believe Lord blesses us with that.
Amen.
Bonnie and I have been blessed beyond measure. That's a good life. Amen?
Amen.
But you received the new life in Christ so that your earthly life could exceed all your expectations.
Thank you, Lord.
All your expectations. Thank you, Lord. As Christians, God has planned so much more for us than just letting life happen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Just letting life happen. We have received a life designed for purpose and meaning.
Thank you, Jesus.
A life that is no longer enslaved to sin and death. Jesus died and rose again to provide us with life that is no longer enslaved to the sin nature that results in death. The Lord's resurrection empowers you, folks. It empowers you to live and to find your new life in Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Now let's look again at our text in Romans 6. In order to enjoy that new life in God, you and I must experience hope. Hope. Without hope, we can lose our will to live. Without hope, we struggle for purpose and meaning. Without hope, we lose our enthusiasm, our joy, our peace. But the good news is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us fresh hope. Amen?
Amen.
Fresh hope. Romans 6, and let's start with verse 8. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him.
Yes.
We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. Verse 11, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Someone once said, we can live several weeks without food, days without water, and only minutes without oxygen. But without hope, forget it. Without hope, forget it. Hope is essential for life.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what it feels like to be hopeless? It's a dull, throbbing ache in your gut. It is a heavy, sinking feeling on your shoulders. It is overwhelming and depressing, and there's no will to live and to thrive. This is where most who commit suicide find themselves. They see no way out, no other option, no hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, in the Message, it says this, what a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have Him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, a hope, folks. And the future starts now.
Woo! Thank you. Yes.
Brothers and sisters, you will never find hope by living for self. God did not make us to live for self. In fact, the more selfish and more self-centered you are, the more miserable you are. Folks, don't live for self. Live for God. And remember, hope is also found in things that last. When you've been busy doing some physical labor and you realize that your stomach is growling and your insides are longing for something satisfying, something substantial, do you hope for cotton candy? Or do you hope for a steak and potato? Amen. Obviously, you would prefer something that will fill you up.
Yeah.
Fill you up, satisfy your hunger. Likewise, humanity searches for something real to fulfill us. If we consider material things, we realize that these things do not last and will not last.
Amen.
However, that which is eternal will last forever, being without end, perpetual.
Yes.
Remember what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them.
Amen.
When you determine to dedicate your life to the Lord, that is when you will discover real happiness, meaning, significance, purpose, and value in your life.
Amen.
Fresh hope emerges as you embrace this spiritual life. Amen?
Amen?
The resurrection of Jesus Christ has defeated hopelessness, offering you purpose and meaning and bringing you fulfillment in life. Hallelujah. Each of us can enjoy fresh hope when we anchor ourselves in this new life purchased through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, a new life and fresh hope will help us experience a transformed faith. A transformed faith. Go back to our text and begin with verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Verse 14, sin is no longer your master.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the opportunity for a new life and a fresh hope, but it also reminds us that sin has no control over us.
Amen.
When we realize that we are no longer enslaved to sin, we will experience that transformed faith.
Amen.
Saints, transformed faith is not an intellectual acknowledgement in the existence of a supreme being. A transformed faith is not simply believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Transformed faith is being willing to completely submit to and trust in God. I'm going to say it again. Transformed faith is being willing to completely submit to and trust in God. Remember, brothers and sisters, faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. Our scripture we just read declares some phrases here. Do what is right. Sin no longer. Live under the freedom of God's grace.
Amen.
And that is what it means to experience a transformed faith. It is moving beyond an intellectual form of Christianity, beyond religion, and into a life and hope that changes the way you live and breathe.
Hallelujah.
In Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20, it says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now notice in that passage of scripture, you might leave that up just a minute, Vivian. The resurrection power is for us who believe Him, not believe in Him.
Right.
Amen. Believe Him,
Amen.
Not believe in Him.
Amen.
There is a difference. Thank you, Vivian. We can believe in God, yet live as if He doesn't exist.
That's right.
Amen? It happens all the time. And it's called practical atheism. And the world, including, sad to say, Christianity, is full of it. Practical atheism recognizes and acknowledges that God is up there, He has created it all, and that He's got it all in His hands. But I'm not going to live for Him. I'm not willing to live a hope-filled, transformed life. Practical atheism may believe that God exists, but it usually doesn't matter. It wants us to live without seriously thinking about God for days, weeks, and months. It wants us to live and walk and work and breathe without God. It wants us to get so wrapped up in living a good, comfortable life that God rarely, if ever, enters the picture. Practical atheism wants us to treat God like a pilot treats a parachute. He knows it's there, but he hopes he'll never have to use it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? It's not an outright denial of God. It's more of a subtle disregard for God. It is taking God for granted. Now, in case you're wondering, what does practical atheism look like? It looks like worry, being ungrateful. It is filled with unbelief. It majors in prayerlessness. It centers on selfishness. And the result is disobedience. A transformed faith believes God and takes God at His word. If you and I are going to experience a transformed faith, then we must live by the power of God working in our lives.
Amen.
A transformed faith is giving ourselves completely to God. Completely. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, in the NIV, it says this, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." That's like selling your house and everything in it, jumping in your car, taking off on the interstate until God says, "Okay, stop there. This is where I want you to be." That sounds nuts to us, but that's transformed faith. It is saying, "God, I and everything I have is yours."
Amen.
And folks, there's freedom in that. And be honest, doesn't that stir a sense of excitement and an adventure in you, in the hearts of you men? Amen? It's that whole born to be wild feeling. Amen? Hallelujah. I am not advocating that we sell everything, buy Harleys, and head out on the highway, even though that might be fun. Amen? But what I'm saying is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not an occasion to simply be observed or acknowledged. It is so much more. So much more. The resurrection is a transforming event that must be experienced. It must be experienced. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us the possibility of a new life, no matter what we've been doing up to now. A fresh hope, even if life has seemed hopeless. And a transformed faith, one that will follow and serve God no matter what.
Hallelujah.
Experience the profound difference Jesus can make in your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Experience it. Do not settle for just another nice little Easter service. Accept the challenge this morning. Amen? Step out. Believe God. Trust His Word. Amen? Fully experience the life, hope, and faith that Jesus brings to each one of us through His resurrection and our decision to faithfully follow Him.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Folks, Jesus is alive.
Yes.
Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And he's alive for you and me. Hallelujah. He is the resurrected King. Bonnie sang that this morning. We all sang it. Crown him with many crowns. He's the King. He's the King. And he did it all for you and me. He did it all for you and me. Easter is beautiful.
Right.
But don't let it just be a holiday. Let it mean something. Renew your faith. Renew your life. Renew yourself in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to stand with me again. We're going to sing another song together. Amen.
Amen.
And you know this one for sure. For Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you that He came,
that he came
to save me, and set me free, to live a life for you. Forgive me, Lord, when I've disappointed you, when I've done something against you, anything I've done, Lord. That you haven't approved of. Forgive me. And set me free. And renew in my heart a brand new fresh anointing.
Let the Holy Spirit
come alive in me today.
Because of what Jesus did.
In His resurrection power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. whole holiday.
Yes.
Seek God for your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Grow in Him today.
Yes, Lord.
Be enriched in Him today.
Be empowered of God.
He wants to bless you in ways we cannot even think of. The government likes to give you money. But I want to tell you that money will disappear. It'll go fast. But God's blessings will last forever.
Amen.
Happy Easter, folks.
Happy Easter.
Make it a great one. God bless. I love y'all.